Krishnam, the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Mahishyat, with his queen. Atulya Shilaya, who is equally as qualified as Maharaj Ambarisha. Yuktaha, together. Sambhatsarang, for 1 year. Viraha, the king. Dudhara, accepted. Dwadashi Vratam, the vow for observing Ekadashi and Dwadashi. Translation. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadashi and Dwadashi for 1 year. You can repeat, to worship Lord Krishna. Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadashi and Dwadashi for 1 year. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki, Jai. To observe Ekadashi Vrat and Dwadashi Vrata means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness must observe Ekadashi Vrata regularly. Maharaj Ambarish's queen was equally as qualified as the king. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Ambarisha to engage his life in household affairs. In this regard, the word Tulya Shilaya is very significant. Unless a wife is equally as qualified as her husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. Chanakya Pandit advises that a person in such a situation should immediately give up household life and become a vanaprastha or sannyasi. Mata yasya grahe nasti marya chapir vadini aranyatena gantavyam yataranyam tatagraham. A person who has no mother at home and whose wife is not agreeable with him should immediately go away to the forest, because human life is meant for spiritual advancement only. One's wife must be helpful in this endeavor. Otherwise, there is no need for household life. So, Ariradaya Shu Krishnam Mahishatulya Chilaya Yukta Samvatsarang Viro Dithara Dwadashi Ratam. So, Om Ganatya Miranda Shagaranjana Shlakaya Chaksur Unmeritam Yena Tesmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Of course, there are several topics being dealt with in this particular verse and purport. The first one that we'll dwell on is Ekadashi and Dwadashi. For those of you who don't know, Ekadashi means the 11th day of the moon, and Dwadashi means 12th day of the moon. And as far as the moon is concerned, that means the 12th day of the waxing and the 12th day of the waning and the 11th day of the waxing, 11th day of the waning moon. So, because the Veda calendar is based upon the moon and rather than on the sun. And you may ask, why is it based on the moon rather than the sun? Well, the reason is the moon actually affects our mind a lot more than the sun. The moon is the presiding deity of the mind. So, and one is advised to control his mind in this material world. And, of course, we do find on certain days of the moon, like the full moon, there is an increase in moonacy. Moonacy, I know. Luna means moon, and moon, lunacy or lunacy. I made up that word just for you. So it's a fact. I mean, you can ask people, ask the doctors in the hospital about about that if you're interested at all. So, anyway, so Ekadasi is the day of Lord Hari. It's a special day for executing devotional service. Now, many times devotees concentrate or talk about the negative aspects of Ekadasi. You know, they say, if you eat grains, it's like killing your guru. Don't kill your guru. Mm-hmm. I don't eat grains on Ekadasi. So, I mean, that injunction is there. We're not denying that. And then they also concentrate on real heavy austerities on Ekadasi, such as what's it called? Nirjal, which means not drinking water and fasting completely and staying up all night. And we're not denying that these are injunctions. However, this is a big however, Prabhupada taught us a different set of priorities other than performing physical austerities. Prabhupada taught us the austerity of preaching is the essence, purity is the force, books are the basis, utility is the principle. And of course, that's coming from his spiritual master, his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And because there's even that example that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave his disciples rice to eat on the Ekadasi so they would go out and preach. I'm not saying we should do that. That's not, don't quote me out of context, but that's what he did. And you know, he did all sorts of, like, things that were extremely different from other Vaishnavas in our Sampradaya, like arranging for meat for the Britishers who were going to visit Mayapur, or arranging for, you know, biddies, you know, which is cigarettes in India. So, and Prabhupada actually, in his opening of the Mumbai or Bombay temple, he said that we should have a smoking room there. So the people who are addicted to smoking, of course, it's not necessary that we did it. We didn't do it, actually. Or we, the devotees, didn't do it. So it's not that they disobeyed Prabhupada's instructions, but Prabhupada was indicating that that's the importance of preaching Krishna consciousness. And then there's the example. When Prabhupada went to Mayapur one time, one devotee, prominent devotee, and I won't mention his name, had been observing Chaturmas, which is another austerity in Krishna consciousness, and he had been observing Chaturmas by growing his beard and living very austerely, too. It's not only you grow a beard, but he was basically eating once a day, Havishap. That means unspiced, no ghee, like khichdi type of substance. And he was eating it by going down like a duck. Going down like a duck means you put your hands behind your back. And you don't use your hands to eat because ducks don't use their hands to eat. Ducks don't have hands, in case you haven't seen. Anyway, ducks have these webbed feet. And they, really, it's not so useful to eat with them. And so you go down like that, and I mean, it's hard to imagine how I would do it. I just end up with food all over my face if I tried to do that. And then whatever you eat when you're down one time, that's it. So I don't know what I would do if I had to do that austerity. So, and anyway, that's a bona fide austerity. We're not saying it's not bona fide. But Prabhupada set a different set of priorities. So when Prabhupada encountered this one devotee who was doing a very prominent devotee, and he had a beard, Prabhupada came up with the word chaturmes instead of chaturmasya. Chaturmes. Because Prabhupada's instruction was that his disciples should be clean shaven. Not beards. And, of course, the devotees sometimes, they say, well, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a beard during Chaturmas. Well, Prabhupada is he was undergoing severe austerities in order to get the potency to preach Krishna consciousness. And then, you know, the whole statement, the whole story of he was chanting bound to chant a billion rounds, or a billion names of Krishna, a billion rounds, actually, or names of Krishna, whatever the case may be. And Lord Chaitanya sort of interrupted his vow. And he said, all right, you better go out and preach. So then he went out and preached and initiated. I mean, there's that whole story that he had. The first disciple he initiated, he dreamt that the disciple was being attacked by tigers who happened to be this deviant Vaishnava sect in Laval's. And out of compassion, he went out to preach. So that was Prabhupada's mood, and that was the mood of Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati Thakura. Of course, all of our acharyas have the mood of all of our acharyas have the mood of compassion, not just those two. But in order to spread Krishna consciousness in a widespread fashion, then Prabhupada stopped the execution of Chaturmash on that level. Of course, Chaturmash, we do stop taking certain things on certain days, like, you know, spinach, milk, yogurt, or non-veg food, which is actually like herd dal and stuff like that. So there are certain things we avoid. And Ekadasi, there are certain things because the grains carry some sinful activities. But the main point is to increase one's hearing and chanting of Krishna Katha. It's a day, that's what Prabhupada was asked one time, is Ekadasi inauspicious? You know, devotees talk about that, inauspicious, I'm scared of sinful activity. No, Prabhupada said, it's a very auspicious day. Because it's a day where you get special mercy. If you preach Krishna consciousness, if you chant the holy names, if you read Prabhupada's books, hear Krishna Katha, it's a very, very special day for serving Krishna. And getting back to that principle that Prabhupada mentioned, utility is the principle, that whatever you have to do to maximize your service in that day, do it. If it means, I mean, don't eat grains, but if it means eating 200 avocados, I'm being facetious here, obviously, then do it. If you can reach more people, more conditioned souls, and give them Krishna consciousness, because the Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy, do it. I mean, within the regulated principles, within, you know, the restrictions, do it. And if staying up all night in the Ekadasi is going to leave you like a zombie the next day, don't do it. You know, Prabhupada didn't do that. Prabhupada's our acharya. We have to understand that. I mean, this is one thing that was inculcated, drilled into the devotees in the early days of the movement, that, you know, Prabhupada's our example, our role model, the person who gives us our marching orders. And I was just listening, very interesting in this regard, I was just listening to a memory of Srila Prabhupada last night. There was one very nice lady. She was serving Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, I mean, this shows the dedication, or even enthusiasm, or even over-enthusiasm, fanaticism sometimes is what he said. So, but it's the mood is good. So this lady was serving Prabhupada Prasad, and Prabhupada said, he was quoting Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati Thakura. He said, Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati Thakura said, we should keep a particular verse around our neck all the time. Shanada Pisa Nechena, Turali Vasishana, Mani Namana Dena Kirtini Asadahari. You know, humility, that's a hard one to swallow. It's hard to be humble. So anyway, so you should keep it around your neck all the time. Prabhupada gave this lady that instruction. So what she did, she took it a little literally. She went, got some pens and ink from Lloyd Bazaar. It was in Vrindavan. And guess what she did? She tapped her. I mean, this is, of course, you know, we were fanatic, but it was out of devotion to Prabhupada. See, tattoo, I mean, it's really not safe to tattoo yourself like that, especially if you're using normal ink. You know, if you're going to get a tattoo, go to a tattoo parlor, and even so, you may get infections and so many things. Better not to get a tattoo. Anyway, so she tattooed this around her neck. And so the next day she was serving Prabhupada. And obviously, and not only did she do it, the other ladies, Malati and others, did the same thing. She said, this is instruction from Prabhupada. That's how enthusiastic we were in the early days. You remember that, Lotion? You got instruction from Prabhupada. Okay, do it. I mean, but that mood is good. Prabhupada didn't instruct her to tattoo. Prabhupada, you know, it's just like a metaphorical thing. You know, you wear it around your neck. It means you remember it. You know, sometimes hear people hear Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions like you beat your head with shoes in a cane. So I've seen brahmacharis do that. What's that? You did that in Radha Damodar. I mean, they actually literally did it. It's just incredible. I mean, it shows devotion, but it also shows misapplication or misunderstanding of the guru's instruction. Because then you get a concussion, brain damage, and so many things. I mean, or you end up in a mental institution and somebody catches you hitting your head with your shoes or a cane. So this lady did it. That's not the end of the story yet. So she comes in to serve Prabhupada the next day. And it's swollen, but you can still see the words. And she says, Prabhupada, and she pulls down her shirt like that. Can you imagine a lady serving a sannyasi pulls down her shirt? I mean, not completely, but she said, look, Prabhupada. Look what I did, Prabhupada. I couldn't believe she did it. Prabhupada didn't want to look. I mean, obviously, a lady goes like that, you know. Yeah. Most sannyasis, you know, huh? You know, Hare Krishna. But then finally, you know, it wasn't unchaste, actually. Finally, Prabhupada looked. And he went, Hare Krishna. And he looked. It's not that he said, oh, I'm pleasing you, my disciple, for scratching out this verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, the Shushastika on your neck. So, anyway, the point I'm making by telling that funny story is that was the mood of the devotees. That, you know, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Narakati Katopi. So, in other words, how we observe these different days, let's just see how Prabhupada did it. You know, it makes life so simple. You can't. Krishna consciousness has become, in many ways, very complicated. You know, Prabhupada was, his philosophy was kiss. Keep it simple, sadhu. Of course, the non-devotees use that abbreviation to indicate something else. Anyway, so keep it simple, sadhu. You know, chant Hare Krishna, you preach, you serve the deities. It was just like such a simple movement in those days. And it, you know, it was so simple that we didn't even have to worry about finances. We told the story that one time we didn't have enough money to pay the rent on the temple, and then we went on Sankirtan, some stranger walks up, pays the whole rent, walks away, disappears. Krishna took care of it. So, anyway, things have become a little, I'm not saying that we should go to that particular level of dependence on Krishna, or, you know, that's insane to actually wait for Krishna to pay the rent or pay the bills in the temple. You've got to make some arrangement, you got to do accounting, you got to do so many things. Anyway, so as far as Ekadasi, no grains or beans. As far as Dwadasi, you break at a certain time, although Prabhupada really didn't pay much attention to breaking at a certain time, but, you know, you could do that if you like. We didn't have that calculation. Another thing is that nowadays we have a very sophisticated calendar that calculates different Vaishnava holidays, Vaishnava days for every single location on the earth. You know, you can be in Chapel Hill and it's a different Ekadasi than it is in, I don't know, it may have happened like that in Hillsboro,
But sometimes it's like that. You know, you go from one place in Fiji to another, or one place in India to another. It's a different ekadasi, a different janastami, and just, what's happening? And, you know, I'm not denying that we should do that, but at one point they asked Prabhupada, should we calculate for a different place? And Prabhupada said, if it's ekadasi or Gorpanima in Mayapur, it's Gorpanima everywhere. It's interesting. I mean, you got these different statements. It's Gorpanima everywhere. And so, anyway, it's not a criticism, it's just like showing how things have become more complex. You've got to have your print out of the Vaishnava calendar. So, and on Ekadasi, Prabhupada would have an Ekadasi feast. The devotees would make Prabhupada special preparations. Yamalati talks about this. Special preparations on Ekadasi, and Prabhupada would take prasadam in the morning, you know, his normal prasadam, but without grains. Now, on other fast days, of course, where it did require to fast completely, you know, then Prabhupada would fast completely. I remember being with Prabhupada on Janmashtami. Prabhupada not only fasted completely to midnight, but he kept us up till 3 o'clock in the morning reading Krishna book, which was a great austerity for us, but Prabhupada was completely exact. This is in New Vrindavan. I believe it was 73, 72 or 73. So on other days, you know, Prabhupada did fast completely. So Prabhupada did set an example what we should do on different days. And as far as I'm concerned, if it's good enough for Prabhupada, it's good enough for me. That's my philosophy. And of course, we do fast. Like there's another story I heard last night that devotees were eating breakfast on Ram Naomi. Prabhupada came by and he was very disturbed seeing devotees eating on Ram Naomi. So there are certain days where we fast completely. So let's observe Ekadasi by chanting more and serving more on Ekadasi. And not staying up all night and the next day not being able to do any service or sleeping during the next day. It's not healthy. Anyway. And it's also not healthy when it's hot to observe a nirjala because you can get kidney damage. And it's a fact. After 24 or 48 hours, you can get severe kidney damage, not drinking water, if you're sweating, if you get dehydrated. You can also get dehydrated. So Prabhupada was very considerate of his health, too. Prabhupada took a lot of time for his health. He took massages for hours a day. He took his morning walk. You know, he had a massage at noon. He had a massage at night before he went to rest. And so, you know, that's an example of Prabhupada. Not that we all have massages or we have to have a masseur, you know, that everybody in the temple is massaging each other. But, you know, Prabhupada needed it for his health. So Prabhupada was a very practical person. Very, very practical, down to earth. Prabhupada didn't take astrology so seriously. You know, at one point, when Prabhupada was very sick, Prabhupada said, let's hear what the astrologers have to say. Let's have a good laugh. So, you know, but Prabhupada listened to the astrologers, but didn't take it so seriously. So, anyway, just follow Prabhupada. That's the point I'm making. Then you know how to do everything. Easy. That's what I try to do in Krishna consciousness. Okay, second point is about having a wife who is at least helping one in one's devotional service. And Chanaka Pandit Prabhupada is fond of quoting this verse from Chanaka Pandit, Aranyatena Gantavyam Yata Aranyam Yatagraham. And I'll give the translation which Prabhupada didn't completely give in this particular purport. He says, Het Aranya, Aranya means the forest, or as they say, jungle. Actually, the word jungle is originally a Hindi word, or a Sanskrit word, actually. Something like jungly or something like that. So that's where our English word jungle came from. And it's interesting, whenever I'm with people who are from India, if they take them to New Goloka, they say, oh, there's a jungle here. So they have a different concept of what a jungle is. You know, in my mind, jungle means there's the Lion King there. That's right. You know, there's lions and tigers. I don't see the jungle. I see the forest here. So anyway, so Aranya is like a forest. So there were, in India, if you look at the tradition, there are a lot of forests, and the sages, they would go to the forest to meditate. They go to the Himalayas. Do you know what the word Himalaya means? It means cold place, freezing place. That's what the word Himalaya means. Anyway, just a little bit of Sanskrit information for you. So they would go to the Himalayas, and where they wouldn't be in modern society or even old society, and they would associate with the sages who were there, who told them what to eat, what not to eat, you know, what herbs were good to use, what roots were good to use. You know, don't eat the psilocybin mushrooms, or else you're going to have a trip. You know, that's, you know, psilocybin, that means the LSD mushrooms, as you don't know. So that's Aranya. There were actually people called Aranyas who actually went to the forest. Aranyam tena gantavyam. You should go to the forest. Yata aranyam yata graham. Tata graham. And that's a comparison there. Yata aranyam tata graham. That your house is already like a forest. That's what that last verse says here. So, in other words, sometimes in the forest of material enjoyment, the if one's family is compared to animals, forest animals, like tigers and everything, isn't it? Tigers. I mean, sometimes, anyway, not to get into it too much. Anyway, the wife, I'm not going to talk about it. The wife is compared sometimes to a tiger. And the children are compared to legal thieves, like if you go into the jungle. For example, we were just in New Orleans, and they had some problem with thieves there. Gundas, you call them in India. And three or four of the devotees got gun permits. They actually walked into the temple with guns, some of the thieves, pointed the guns at the devotees' head. And it's interesting that Bengali devotees, Prabhupada says Bengalis, they get very scared. They started shaking, and they were traumatized. But the devotees from other places in India, like Punjab and everything like that, they just told the thieves, get away, we're a temple, you know. And the thieves ran away. Prabhupada talked about that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how when Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan, the Patans came to Lord Chaitanya when he had fainted. The soldiers, they came to Lord Chaitanya when he had fainted, and they thought that the Bengali devotees had poisoned Lord Chaitanya. And so they were getting to arrest him, and the Bengalis were shaking like this. And the Rajput, Krishnadas, he just said, you know, he had his composure, you know, he maintained his composure. So, anyway, so, so the story of New Orleans, so they were very, very, very scared. So anyway, getting back to the point, is that your home is already like a forest, because, they, you know, legal thieves, we're talking about legal thieves and tigers and everything like that. It's not that devotees' homes are like that. You know, sometimes devotees would take this out of context, this particular verse out of context, and tell their wives, you know, you're like a tiger during the day, you know, or a witch at night or something. You remember that verse? You know, I'm sure on the Radha Damodar party you heard that statement many, many times. You know, the wife is like a tiger during the day, at night or something, on the witch, and during the day, you know, I forget, maybe I got it reversed. But and all the poor brahmacharis were scared. Oh my God, shouldn't get married to a tiger and a witch. Just to prove we remember this one quite well, because that's the way the preaching was. They tried to convince the brahmacharis not to get married. But it's not a case of the lady is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Ambarish Maharaj's wife. She was a devotee, and so she helped the husband. And Prabhupada said the wife is actually, or the lady is good association if she is a devotee. And if someone's not a devotee, it doesn't matter whether they're man or woman or wife or husband, they're bad association. And Lord Chaitanya says the first point is give up bad association. When Lord Chaitanya was asked, you know, what is the principle or what is the activity of a Vaishnava? Asat Sangha Chaga Vaishnava Char. So one should associate, whether it's husband or wife or whatever, with devotees. And if someone is trying to interfere with your devotional service, like Prabhupada's wife was trying to interfere with Prabhupada's devotional service, throwing dust in the faces of Prabhupada's guests who he was trying to preach to, stealing or taking his bhagavatams and selling them, telling him that tea was more important than him, then, you know, yatha ramyam tatha graham. So that was Prabhupada's life, actually. Prabhupada's life, our home, was like a forest. Like that. And he's talking about how the children, too, they were like that, too. Not all of them, but some of them were like that, too. And he just left, and they were angry with him for that. But that's Chanaka Pandit's injunction right here. So, anyway, we got two more minutes. There was another point, too. Tulya is significant. So. And so anyway, the wife helps the husband in spiritual advancement. So, any questions or comments about these points? Yes?
What is the best understanding of beating your head with
a brook stick or... Chanting Hare Krishna. You know, that's when the mind starts to wander. Krishna answers that in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna says, you know, the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, very strong, and the control is more difficult than controlling the wind. And Krishna says, by constant practice. In other words, constantly, one must certainly practice withdrawing the mind, putting it, focusing on Krishna conscious activities, even on your service to Krishna. We should, like another example Prabhupada gave, is that the of the cup of milk, that it, you know, the milk should be all the way up to the top, and so there's no room for anything else. You know, there's no room for ink. I mean, obviously, no one's going to put ink in milk. But in other words, your day should be so full, you have so many things to do for Krishna, apart from chanting Hare Krishna and your sadhana, that you don't have time to think of anything else. It's like Haridas Thakur chanting, you know, 3 lakhs of names a day. And when the prostitute came, when Durga came, just, you know, excuse me, I didn't have time. I mean, that's, of course, he had no inclination anyway, but that's really the point, to be so, have so many things on your mind to do, because we can't, most of us can't be absorbed in just chanting all day long and Krishna Katha all day long, so we have to have service. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir mamagno brahmano uttam brahmatena gantavyam brahmakarma smata. If you have service and you're absorbed in your service, that service is samadhi. Means complete absorption. Samadhi, like with complete absorption. So one should be so absorbed in what they have to do, even if it's shopping or... Right? Even at shopping or taking care of all the nice devotees, like herding cats.